Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of March, recording at 9:19 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And overall, it was a capitulation day. Asian stock markets were mostly lower, not heavily. Japan, it's Nikkei, and the Australian index were down 1 point, just under 1.5%. Those are the biggest declines in the Asia-Pacific region. And elsewhere, we've seen some significant weakness in the European stock markets. And we had the UK, for instance, down 1.5%. They may have actually rallied a little bit off their lows just before the close, as Wall Street paired losses somewhat. But Wall Street closed near the day's lows, and we had declines of 1 point, just under 1.9%. For the three main U.S. indices today. Brazil fell by a similar margin, as did Toronto, and Mexico not far behind at 1.5%. We had, as you would expect against this background, we had a rally in long-dated government bond prices, so yields falling, in other words. Capitulation extended to precious metals. We've got platinum back to 1765, palladium down to 1768, gold down to 1413, and it has been $10 lower, and silver down to 3523, and it has been about 60 cents lower than that. And crude oil has swung about a bit, but currently down $2 for NYMEX crude. The Brent down less. That's down. It's down a little bit, but it's currently at 115. Agricultural commodities down as well, for the most part. Soybeans were an exception, carving out a small gain. We had a limit down move by rough rice, and corn and wheat were also down, particularly corn. So, as I say, a day of capitulation here overall, although I see zinc was actually up on the day. That's interesting. Most industrial markets were easier. Okay. So, what's going on here overall? Well, investors have seemed to have lost their nerve today in Europe and the USA. And I don't think we can be too surprised by that, because both regions were susceptible to some mean reversion relative to back towards their 200-day moving averages. Now, that's a point that I've been making, as is Owen, on a daily basis here in these broadcasts, that following the excellent September into January advance and beyond for some of these markets, and right well into February, that they were overextended, they were due for mean reversion. And we certainly saw some of that today, and in a number of instances, it's broken initial minor support levels. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw some additional mean reversion, because that's been the outlook for some time. Obviously, people are very nervous over the oil price, and rightly so. And although it it dismays me to say it, I think that oil, you know, remains by far the most important factor here overall in people's minds. And the oil spike that we have seen to date, which took Brent up to $120 and took NYMEX up to I think $113. Now, although prices are off those highs, they aren't off by all that much. And you have plenty of people forecasting higher oil prices and throwing out some what by my estimate are some very hysterical forecasts. And you know, people talking about $200 to $220. Well, markets get quite emotional, and people tend to throw out extreme forecasts, if only to attract attention. Think $10,000 for gold, for instance. Think Dow Jones 3,600. you know, a book was written on that subject a few years ago, a number of years ago. So, you know what I mean by that process. But we have seen an oil spike, not a really damaging oil spike, but a mildly damaging oil spike that will pair GDP growth. And yes, it was caused mostly by speculation, but the economic effects of it are real. It makes people more cautious. It does raise costs for consumers. And it puts events on hold. Today it was quite interesting because oil, NYMEX crude, came down $3, and then it bounced back up to almost unchanged on reports that police were firing at protesters in Saudi Arabia. Well, there was a disturbance there, and some shots were fired, and two people were wounded. That was the extent of it. So oil then moved a little bit weaker after that. But understandably, people are extremely nervous here overall, and we're going to have to live with this for a little while longer. I don't think that we're going to get the problems that we're seeing in Libya. It's really a civil war there, and the outcome has swung in favor of the Gaddafi region, regime rather, in the last 2 or 3 days. And there has been some damage to Libya's oil terminals. But I would be very surprised if we had any serious unrest in Saudi Arabia, partly because the Shiite minority living in the oil field east is only 10 to 15% of the population overall, and also because they have received some exceedingly generous subsidies following King Abdullah's return to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So, I think we'll see Saudi Arabia continue to make up the shortfall from Libyan production. But that means that events are finally balanced, because any disruption anywhere else would cause further problems. And the market is obviously concerned about that in the short term. Just going to pause here for a moment to have a little cough. Now, other factors. What else is taking place? Commodity prices have fallen back quite sharply. And this includes runaway metals to the upside, such as tin and copper. These are now in at least a mean reversion phase. So are the grains and beans. Other commodities which had spiked hugely, such as rubber, fallen for the last 3 weeks. The old CRB, otherwise known or officially known as the Continuous Commodity Index, is forming a downside to key day reverse, a weekly key reversal, I should say, forming a weekly key reversal. I'll be posting that in a few minutes, and of course you can see it in the library. So the problem, which I said had arrived, commodity price inflation, we're getting some respite there, and I think that commodity speculators, seeing this nervous situation for stock markets, and we had seen commodities often moving with stock markets on the up phases, And I think commodity speculators are understandably experiencing a bit of vertigo right now, and they are or should be concerned about the studies being undertaken by the CFTC and other regulatory bodies regarding potential curbs on speculative activity in the commodity markets. So while we have a number of short-term negative factors, high oil prices, uncertainty over what's going to happen in the Middle East, mean reversion overdue following the very strong rallies that we had seen in global stock markets, the QE2 program in the U.S. we now know is being wound down, although it will continue through to June. Now, all of these give people some cause for concern. Look beyond that, and I do expect it to pull markets down in the short term. Europe and the U.S. on mean reversion, as I've been forecasting for some time. And in terms of the Wall Street leash effect, Asia is not going to like a decline of nearly 2% on Wall Street today, so that's too much of a headwind overall. So we are going to see, I think, some additional softening here in stock markets. Let's now look beyond this, and Owen's got some very interesting comments in his copy here today on crude oil and natural gas, but the outlook for lower energy prices going ahead, I think, is quite strong. And not because of any economic collapse. I don't think we're going to see that, although this oil spike, the small oil spike to date, is certainly is a headwind, and any further gains in the oil price would compound that near-term problem. But I think we will avoid a very large spike, and I don't think it's justified fundamentally. And I would not bet against a worst-case outcome here in the Middle East. But that outcome is uncertain, and your guess is as good as mine as to what's going to happen in the Middle East over the short term. But what I do feel very strongly about is looking further ahead for the second half of this year and beyond. We see very low natural gas prices in the USA, and that ratio in terms of the price of natural gas relative to crude is about 25 to 1, and that's the highest it's ever been. And that means as gas is very, very cheap and very, very competitive, and it's very abundant. With the increase in shale gas. And our new report that we posted, that Owen's posted here this evening, points out or estimates that the shale gas available around the globe in yet-to-be-developed sites exceeds the known sources of conventional natural gas by about 10 to 1. That's a staggering, staggering factor. And we also have U.S. cutting-edge technology oil companies, such as Devon, Chevron, ExxonMobil, saying that they now have the technology, and it's not just saying it, they are now beginning to extract crude oil from oil shale. And that is going to be hugely important overall. So Owens made the point that it is not unrealistic. It was almost unthinkable a few years ago to say this, but given the shale gas and the shale oil, that U.S. energy self-sufficiency within a few years is an achievable goal. And then we still have, of course, the renewables, the non-fossil fuel development programs which include nuclear, although not enough nuclear in the USA. And my feeling in terms of upgrading those existing plants and replacing them with newer technologies. But I think that will all happen. And today's problems today's unrest in the Middle East can only concentrate minds further on the development of shale gas and shale oil and nuclear energy and other forms of renewable energy. As an aside, I do think that the UK is making a big blunder with the energy secretary pushing so aggressively for additional wind power. If I were to make a guess, I would say that wind power is going to prove to be the most expensive and least beneficial of all the renewable energy programs that are currently in vogue. Worse than solar, far worse than nuclear. Okay, now what else to mention here? The U.S. dollar has firmed today, so we're getting this so-called flight to what are regarded as the lower risk assets, money flowing back into bonds. We are seeing the dollar halt its downward bias at long last. That's a good thing overall. And we are seeing respite in these commodity prices, which had been spiking higher in so many instances. So not all bad out there, but we're still in a tricky period here in the short term. And unfortunately, we still have to keep looking at that oil price in particular, because that's going to remain such a big short-term influence on markets. And on that note, all the best.